1, verses 4 to 8 is what we're going to be looking at this evening. And I'll read the text to us tonight. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 21, verse 4. Here's what it says. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. The way of a guilty man is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for wisdom, we pray. We ask that you would grant us knowledge as we study Proverbs to grow, to become wise, skilled people in thy estimation. Thank you for those who are here tonight. We pray your blessing on each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, suppose you were to get up tomorrow and you were to discover that the government has ordered that everybody must go for a walk. And you have two paths from which you must choose to walk on. One path will lead you to safety, security, and honor. The other path that you can walk on will lead you to destruction, insecurity, and poverty. Now, the first path will bring great reward. The second path will bring you to negative consequences and ultimately death. You have the privilege of making the selection. You decide which path you're going to walk on. So which would you choose? The walk begins tomorrow. Which path would you go on? Well, anyone in a course logical mind would say, well, I'm going on the path that's good. That really is the issue that's at stake when you come to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book that is setting forth two pathways on which one may walk. One can walk on a pathway of wisdom, in which case there are wonderful blessings, or one can walk on a pathway of stupidity and folly, in which case there are a series of negative consequences. But make no mistake about it, the path of wisdom and the path of folly are two different paths, and they lead to two distinct different types of consequences. And that's what this book of Proverbs so clearly brings out. And what is so tragic is that most people, given a choice to walk on one of those two paths, choose to walk on the path of a fool. Now, it was Solomon's intent to demonstrate this difference between the path of one who's wise and the path of one who's foolish. And so he does it in great detail, step by step, and he addresses various issues that make us wise or foolish. And what he was, of course, trying to do was get himself and, of course, his sons and those that were connected to the nation Israel, and ultimately, because it's in the Word of God, us, to choose to walk on the wise path. He wanted us to realize this is the path of wisdom. Get on this path and stay on that path. Don't go on the path of folly. Now, what I see as the theme tonight is one we've seen over and over again, and that is there are major contrasts between a wise way to live life and a foolish way to live life. And those people who are wise recognize those contrasts and they choose to walk on the wise way of life. Wise people want to carefully mark the wise way of life because they want to walk down the right path. Now, there are five paths spelled out here on which one may walk. Path number one, the wise path is not the proud path. Notice what we read in verse 4. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. Now, the ways of the wicked are a major theme in this 21st chapter of the book of Proverbs. In fact, it's one of the key themes of the chapter. Because there's a lot of discussion about the wicked person in this chapter. For example, in verse 4, you've got the lamp of the wicked. In verse 7, you have violence of the wicked. In verse 10, you have the soul of the wicked is twisted. And then you have the wicked showing up in verse 12. The house of the wicked shows up in verse 12, turning the wicked to ruin. Then you have in verse 18, you have the wicked is a ransom. So you have a wicked is statement. And then you have in verse 27, the sacrifice of the wicked. And then you have in verse 29, a wicked man. So this theme of wickedness shows up over and over again. And by virtue of the fact that Solomon keeps repeating it, he wants us to understand that this issue of being a fool is more than just a misunderstanding of things. This issue of being a fool is a way of wickedness. And what he brings out here is that a proud person, he equates at that level of being wicked. So the idea of being proud in the mind of God is the idea that is both wicked and sinful. That's how God classifies it. And that's very clear from the fourth verse. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, and the lamp of the wicked is sin. So this is the way God sees one that's proud as wicked and sinful. This is the way God classifies a person who's proud and arrogant. Now the idea of haughty eyes, or the idea of a proud heart, is the idea of one that's total, expressing total arrogance in look and heart. One who's just not humble in any way, shape, or form. One who's blatantly arrogant, lifting himself up in a high, lofty manner. This is one who magnifies himself. This is one who lives above and beyond what's realistic. This is the person who lives in some delusional land, elevating himself in his loftiness far above what's real and far above what God would classify as thinking, not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. This kind of person elevates himself, escalates himself beyond the level of what's legitimate, and there are people who live their entire lives walking around in this framework, walking around in proud and arrogant way of thinking. Now the text says that the haughty eyes and proud look and the lamp of the wicked is sin. Some translations read lamp of the wicked, some translations read plowing of the wicked. And the reason why there's a difference of lamp versus plowing in some translations is because of the Hebrew word that are very close in spelling. The word ner is one that means plowing or tilling, and the word ner means lamp. And there's a big contextual debate over what the scribe put there. Was he sleeping when he wrote the word, and did he mean the lamp of the wicked, or did he mean the plowing of the wicked? But regardless, either way, the meaning comes crystal clear, surfacing from the proverb, and it is simply this. Everything that a proud person does is classified by God as wicked and sinful. And this would include even when this proud, arrogant person tries to worship. Everything he cultivates, everything he's involved in, everything he plows is a work of wickedness. Obviously, his heart is not humble before the Lord. He's an arrogant person. He's not right with God, and he cannot please God. If you use lamp as the interpretation, then everything this proud person or this person shines forth in the mind of God is nothing more than arrogance and wickedness and sinfulness. So whatever interpretation that you use in the translation, it is certainly obvious that the point of it is that a wicked person is a proud person, and that's how a person lives life. That's what a person does. One of the most amazing stories that I ever heard was that of an unsaved pastor who ultimately came to Christ, came to faith in Jesus Christ. But he told how he had elevated himself to a high level of achievement in a religious system. And he said he was involved in all kinds of things, preaching and political maneuvering in the denomination. He was involved in singing and calling, and he was esteemed highly. He said it was all a sham. He said, I was feeding my ego through all of this. That's all I was doing. And he said he finally came to realize that he was not right with God, and he humbled himself before the Lord, and he yielded his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's when, of course, he became a new believer, a new creation in Christ. I cannot help when I read these words in verse 4 to think of what Peter said. All of you be subject to one another and be clothed in humility, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So what he's saying here is that a proud person is not a wise person. He's a fool. That brings us to the second path. The wise path is not a hasty path. Notice verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Now, over and over again, the Bible emphasizes, especially in Proverbs, that diligence is the way to success and not haste. Diligence is the way to wisdom, not hasty reaction. In fact, if a person does things in a hasty manner, we've already seen that that person can err, chapter 19, verse 2. That person can end up, as we'll see in chapter 28, being punished. And this person can wind up hopeless, without any hope at all. Most people who do wrong things respond to hasty urges. In fact, most people who do things that are contrary to what's right, they do so because they're making a quick snap decision based on something that's in their world or an environment, and they're hasty in what they're deciding to do. What this proverb is teaching us very plainly is Abundance that lasts is gained by careful planning and thinking and diligence. In other words, those things that are lasting will not be those things that are just snap decisions that are emotional and irrational. They're prayed about, they're thought about, they're planned out, and then the plan is conducted. And that's usually the way God blesses. Now, there are two ways that somebody can achieve something, two paths where one could walk. Path number one features those who want to get rich quick. They want to be hasty, and they'll do what they can. It's like they build their house on the sand. They just want to get it up quick as they can. And path two features those that are careful planners and hard workers. They may not get it up as quick as you could on the sand. They're down on the foundation. God says the one that will succeed ultimately in the long run is not the one who did it quickly or hastily. It's the one that used careful planning and preparation. Now, when it comes to being a success, reaching any level of excellence, I am convinced there are no shortcuts to it. And I just want to drive this point home. There is no quick way to depth. There's no quick way to coming to a high level of understanding. Spiritual depth does not come by hasty methods or methodology. You do not, for example, get quick spirituality by quick seminars or retreats. It'll never replace a thorough, careful analysis of the Scriptures over a process of time. Diligence in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, is the key to wisdom, not some quick emotional hype that occurs on some weekend seminar. And those who do things on the spur of the moment, they usually end up doing things that are wrong, but those who carefully pray about something, plan it out, move through doors as they walk, carefully through doors, usually end up discovering that success will happen in due time. Success does not come through the hasty method. In fact, haste brings one to want. Success comes through careful planning and preparation. That brings us to the third path. The wise path is not the deceptive path. Notice verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. Now, there are those who will do anything if they think it can get them something, including use very deceitful means. The word treasures is a Hebrew term that indicates an overabundance of things. That's the idea here. In other words, there are those who want to get an overabundant level of stuff, and they want to have it to a level where they can store it up. And it's very clear that from this proverb that many will use lying and deceptive means in order to get these things. This term refers to one who colors truth, uses deception. These are people that don't tell the truth. They are liars. They distort truth. If they think it will get them something, if they think it will add something to them, they're willing to do that. However, the second part of the proverb makes it clear that one who distorts truth in order to try to gain something for self will only discover that that person will end up empty. Not only will this person end up not getting what they thought they were going to get, but they put themselves on a course of death. H.A. Ironside told a story one time of an Arab who got lost in the desert. And Ironside said he was just starving for some food and a drink of water. And he happened to come across a box that was in a trail that had been made by a previous caravan. And Ironside said that when the guy opened the box, he was hoping that he would find some food or some water in there to drink. He said when he opened the box, he found that it was filled with pearls that were worth millions and millions of dollars. Ironside said that he could have been the wealthiest man in the world, holding in his hand pearls that are worth riches untold, but what good is it? He doesn't have the meal to eat. He doesn't have water to drink. In other words, he said he actually was one who was poor, even though he had or thought he had a lot. It didn't matter to him. And so it is with one who uses fraudulent, deceptive means to try to get things. They'll discover they're on a course of disaster. And there are those who will do things, say things, go places, lie, cheat, deceive, trying to get more and more. They're only going to discover they put themselves on a course of death. God says, that won't cut it with me, and I'll see to it that you end up a zero with nothing and on a course of death. Which brings us to the fourth path. The wise path is not a violent path. Verse 7, the violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. Not only are people willing to lie to get what they want, but there are also some who are willing to use violent means, if necessary, to gain more. That word violence is a word that refers to wealth that's obtained by violence. In other words, you would like rob somebody violently, beat them up and rob them. I mean, that's the idea here. There are people who will do that. There are people that if they are confronted in a situation, if they want to steal something out of your home or wherever they're at to steal it, and you confront them, they would do you harm if they thought they could do it. Anything violent to get away with what they want to get away with. Now, you notice the depravity of this kind of person is viewed from two different perspectives, because verse 7 says, the violence of the wicked will drag them away. So this person aggressively is doing wrong, violence against another person, and then this person also refuses to do what's just. In other words, this is the kind of person who is at the ultimate level of folly. This person will not only do whatever it takes to get whatever he wants, but if he were to, he won't have any just thinking or just actions involved in anything he does. What you have described here is a person who's committed to getting as much as he can as possible using any method, including violence. He's not concerned with what's right. He's not concerned with what's just. He's not concerned with what's true. All he's concerned with is what will get him more. This is a fool that Solomon describes. And I want you to notice again what God says. This proverb teaches that to this kind of person, that wickedness is going to ultimately drag them away. The violence of the wicked will drag them away. Now that has ramifications not only for the person that's being dragged away violently, but also what all God will see to it that will ultimately happen to the one who did the violence, who did the evil, who did the wrong. God says this is going to have a boomerang effect. This person will wind up being his own executioner. He thinks he's getting away with something, but what he'll discover is there's a great rebounding effect that God will see that comes to fruition, in which this person's doing the wickedness, deceitfully hurting people, hurting things to get more, and God says, I'll see that that boomerangs on him, and he's the one who ends up hurt. See, wise people are not people who hurt other people. Wise people are humble, they're respectful, they're concerned about what's right, what's true, what's honest, what's good, what's just. That's what wise people are like. But fools could care less. It doesn't matter to them. They'll use any method possible to get more. I saw a couple of weeks ago something I haven't seen in years. I didn't even know they still made these things. It was sitting out in the... We used to call them back in the 60s when I was in high school, a pitchback. But they're like a big mesh thing. But this was pretty fancy, so they've obviously improved since the days I had it. But what it is a thing that you set up, and it has a mesh on it, and you can take a baseball, and you can fire that baseball into that pitchback, is what it was called. I don't know if they still call it that. And then it would rifle it right back at you. I mean, and with the same, almost the same velocity that you're throwing the ball into that net, you have to react because that thing's going to come slamming right back out of there at you. And I saw one of those the other day. And you could get back up, and if you got to it just right, you could get back there 40, 50 feet and rifle that baseball in there, and that ball would come flying right back. Here's what God says for one who's wicked and deceitful and does evil. I'll see to it that that's going to come flying right back at them. They may think they're getting away with it. They may think they're actually padding their pockets with whatever they're taking, but he says, I'll tell you this, this is going to have a boomerang effect. They're doing the evil, I'm going to throw this right back at them. They're not going to get away with it, because God says, I'll see to it that they're the ones that'll be dragged off. So a wise person says, boy, I don't want to be on that path of a fool. I want to do what's just and right. I want to be honest and true, because that's the path of wisdom. Which brings us to the final path tonight, and that is the wise path is not a crooked path. Notice verse 8. The way of a guilty man is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. Now the word crooked is a word that refers to a way that's twisted. And the word guilty that's used here of a guilty man refers to someone that is burdened down with terrible guilt. A crooked person has to live with himself. And it's a weight to live with. And that's exactly what this proverb is teaching. This proverb is teaching that the way of a fool is a way that is twisted, and ultimately this twisted way of thinking and deception will leave a person carrying tremendous guilt. And the second clause makes it clear that the one who's pure and clean lives his life and does his work in such a way that's right, it's pure, his conduct is upright. No deceitfulness at all. The wise person is a straight-shooting person, honest, true, upright, calling it straight, living a life that's upright. What you see is what you get. His life is free from deformity. It's not a tangled-up, burden mess. Now, here's the point. Who in their right mind would want to walk on the path of folly? Now just think about this for a moment. Who in their right mind would want to walk on a path that's going to leave you filled with burdens, going to leave you with a boomerang effect in which God's going to shoot evil straight back on you, going to leave you with a life that you're going to walk around crooked and guilt-ridden, you're going to walk around a person who can't be trusted, you're going to be a person who will not be not only a wise person, but you're known as one who is not pure, you're not straight, you're not righteous, you're not true, you're not living. Who would want to walk on that path? Solomon says a fool. That's who. That's who chooses to go down that path. And these two paths are clearly marked. One path is right, one path is wrong. One path is that of the humble, not the proud. One path is that of one who's diligent, not hasty. One path is that of one who's wise, who's honest, not deceptive. One path is that of one who's gentle, not violent. One path is that of one who's straightforward, not devious. These are clear-cut paths to walk on. This is not gray stuff. This is as clear as it gets. And Solomon says, you take the path of wisdom. It's a clean, pure, guilt-free way to live life. Folly is the path of death. And that's what he teaches in this section tonight. Any questions?